Can't Win Me Back by Ginger Sue. Chapter 1924. Landon sat by the bedside, lifting Lauren's bruised hand and gently pressing it to his cheek. He rubbed her hand tenderly against his cheek before placing a delicate kiss on her palm. This was also how he typically showed her affection. He treated her like an incredibly fragile and precious object, guarding her with unwavering devotion. He had cared for her diligently, yet those monsters had mercilessly ravaged his beloved, dragging her through the mire and shattering her. "Lauren, I'm right here. Open your eyes and look at me, will you?" he implored, tears welling in his eyes, his lips quivering with emotion. "Wake up. Don't leave me alone." In the end, he remained seated like that until daybreak. Early the next day, Javier, accompanied by Rory, arrived to visit Lauren. Jasper was sitting outside the hospital ward. He hadn't slept all night. A conflicted look came across his eyes when he saw Javier, but he stood up anyway. "Have you been sitting here all night without sleeping?" Javier was surprised to see the dark circles beneath Jasper's eyes. Jasper replied coldly, "Yeah. I wasn't sleepy." Javier frowned. "How is that possible? It has been 4 days, hasn't it? The longest someone can go without sleep is 7 days. You could end up dying a sudden death," he blurted. Javier's and Jasper's eyes met. The atmosphere was awkward between them. Jasper's eyes widened slightly. He couldn't believe that Javier was expressing concern for him, and it sounded genuine. Jasper wasn't used to that. Javier blinked and cleared his throat. "I had Rory buy some breakfast. You haven't eaten, have you? Here, have something to eat." Rory was carrying 2 boxes of takeout. He placed them on the chair immediately. "I've included a portion for Cornelius. Bring it over to him later. He's a picky eater, and he said that the hospital food tastes bland. He specified that he wanted pancakes and such. I don't understand what's so tasty about pancakes that he never gets enough of it." Javier paused. Then, he added in a casual tone, "I heard that Alyssa was also here all night. I got breakfast for her too. Let's eat together." Jasper thought that he had misheard. He stared at Javier and asked, "What did you say?" Javier coughed before explaining, "She has been helping out a lot since that incident with Lauren. She even hired a doctor from Mosgravia to check up on Lauren." Javier pressed his lips together. The look on his face was as prideful as usual. "Although I don't really like her, she did help my daughter. So, I should show her my gratitude." Jasper was stunned. He had mixed feelings about what Javier had said and didn't know how to respond. Rory noticed all these and smiled slightly. It was probably a blessing in disguise. It was as if Javier and Jasper were starting to get along better than before. Javier looked through the glass window and noticed the figure of a man. "Who's inside?" he asked in curiosity. "That's Landon. That's Landon." Javier was shocked. "Why does his hair look so different?" Rory looked in the same direction too. Although Landon was young, his hair had turned grayish-white. It broke his heart to see him like that. Javier was shocked. He couldn't believe what he was seeing, yet he couldn't deny the evidence before him. Chapter 1925. Landon felt touched. He gazed at Javier, gratitude evident in his eyes. Though he opened his mouth to speak, words eluded him, leaving him in a momentary silence. Jasper, standing nearby, watched with surprise, his expression softening into a relieved smile. "Got it, Mr. Javier. I'll see to it right away," Rory answered with a smile. Rory was about to leave when Landon stopped him. "There is no need to trouble yourselves. I still have a lot of work to do. Thank you for your kind thought, Mr. Javier." Upon hearing that, Javier decided not to impose. He nodded slightly and offered a quiet piece of advice. "Much has happened in your family recently. It must be an immense burden to bear alone. But don't forget to take care of yourself too. Lauren is my only daughter. If you crumble, so will her world." Days of exhaustion and helplessness weighed heavily on Landon. His body bore the scars of reality's harshness. At this moment, he was filled with a sense of warmth that he hadn't felt in a while. His chest tightened with emotion as he met Javier's gaze. In a voice roughened by fatigue but filled with determination, he affirmed, "For Lauren's sake, I will endure, no matter how arduous the path. You have my word." Jasper had his hand around Landon's shoulders as they made their way to the parking lot. "Congratulations, Landon." Jasper beamed, his smile was akin to the bright sun emerging after a storm. "It seems like Dad is more accepting of you now. After this dangerous encounter, I think he has come around and is not as repulsed by you." Although barely discernible, an awkward smile briefly flitted across Landon's face. "Thanks for trying to comfort me, Jasper. But I know where I stand." Jasper observed the dim spark in his eyes and felt a pang of guilt. Landon, once vibrant and flamboyant, now seemed weighed down by regret and inferiority, particularly regarding his relationship with Lauren. It was as if he could no longer love someone with the same arrogance and passion as before. The current version of Landon reminded Jasper of the time when he had desperately pursued the opportunity to watch over Alyssa. Having weathered his own storms, Jasper was determined to shield Landon from further hardship. "Have some confidence, Landon. You've done nothing wrong," Jasper reassured, firmly patting him on the shoulder. "Javier may no longer have a say in your relationship with Lauren, despite him being Lauren's father. Even so, Lauren would be happier if Javier were to give his blessings to the both of you. Plus, in the future, he will likely support Harper Group for the sake of his only daughter, making your journey as the family head smoother. However, in Lice's words, Javier is a prick. No matter how much recognition he may have for someone deep down, he would never admit it. But the way he interacted with you today was unprecedented. Don't worry. You and Lauren have been through fire, nothing and no one can separate the both of you again." Their conversation was interrupted by the sound of approaching footsteps. Both Landon and Jasper whipped their heads around, stunned. "Mr. Axel. Axel." A breeze swept through the parking lot as Axel approached, his black coat billowing in the wind. His clear eyes held a steely resolve. "Sorry for being late. I was held up by work." Jasper shook his head. "No worries. Axel observed the changes in Landon, his lashes fluttering slightly. He was brief with his words. "Is there anything else that I can help you with?" A warmth spread in Landon's heart as he shook his head. "Thank you. I can manage on my own. Feel free to mobilize your resources when necessary, myself included." "Mr. Axel, thank you," Landon said softly, his eyes brimming with gratitude. Axel couldn't stay serious for long. With a playful grin, he teased, "Hey, if you're really grateful, just call me Axel." In a sheepish tone, Landon replied, "Okay, Axel." Axel clicked his tongue, feigning disappointment. "You're no fun. You took my advice too seriously." Landon remained eerily calm despite the troubling news. "Gather all those who are still willing to work for me. I won't force them if they're afraid of taking the risk." Chapter 1926. Landon had beaten up Zoe quite badly. Two of her ribs were broken, so her treatment at the detention center was marginally better than Betty's. At least, Zoe was placed in a single cell, spared from the torments of other inmates. Zoe coughed up blood every day. She didn't even have the energy to cause a racket. Every day, she lay stiffly in bed and cried. "Help me. I'm going to die. I drank the blood of someone with HIV. I'm going to be infected. Save me, please." Strangely enough, Betty's ruse had an effect. Zoe was plagued by constant fear, her days filled with bouts of vomiting triggered by the vile words she had heard. It was a shame that no one bothered about her. Despite her suffering, Zoe endured until the news of her impending medical parole revitalized her. In a sudden surge of energy, she sat up, laughing and crying hysterically in front of the prison guard and her attorney, Horace Finch, appearing unhinged. "I knew it. I knew that Grandpa and Mom wouldn't abandon me. I just knew it," Zoe exclaimed, her laughter bordering on madness. "Landon tried to end my life, but only in his dreams. Her response was foolish and unrepentant." Even the prison guard frowned in disapproval as he watched her. Fearing Zoe's reaction, Horace chose not to inform her of Cornelius' death. He anticipated her volatile response, worrying she might attack him like a rabid animal, necessitating a rabies vaccine. Instead, he calmly informed her, "Ms. Zoe, the police have arranged transportation to the hospital. They're waiting outside. It's time to go." "The police? Didn't my mom arrange a car for me? Why do I have to ride with the police?" Zoe's tone was disdainful as she glared and wrinkled her nose. Horace was left speechless. "Ms. Zoe, you are being placed on medical parole. You're not being acquitted. Right now, you are still a criminal suspect. The prosecution will proceed with the case against you while you receive treatment at the hospital. You useless piece of shit." Zoe pointed at his nose, unleashing her frustration. "You can't even get this little bit right. What is our family paying you for?" Horace clenched his teeth in anger, silently cursing her. Zoe emerged from the detention center, her wrists restrained by handcuffs, flanked by two policemen. The weather was dreary, with dark clouds dominating the sky, casting a somber mood. Despite the dismal atmosphere, Zoe looked up at the sky with anticipation, Inhaling the fresh air eagerly, she thought that freedom was finally within reach. Since she was able to walk out of the detention center, she was convinced that she would escape legal consequences unscathed, and it was all because she was Cornelius and Penelope's most beloved family member. With these thoughts swirling in her mind, Zoe drifted off to sleep. The journey had been uneventful until an ear-piercing screech came from the tires. Chapter 1927. The van experienced simultaneous punctures in both of its front tires. The driver lost control, causing the vehicle to crash into the left wall with a jarring impact, leaving the door dented and the front end mangled. It was a horrible sight. Fortunately, the officers had fastened their seat belts, so they sustained only minor bruises. But Zoe, seated in the back row, was in a dire state. Wailing in agony, she suffered a head injury and had her left arm pinned by the door, with a metal plate slicing her flesh, causing profuse bleeding. Amidst the chaos, confusion arose. Why did the tires go flat all of a sudden? It's too strange. Let's go and take a look. Both officers got out of the van. The moment they bent down to inspect the tires, they both felt a sharp pain at the back of their necks. They lost consciousness and collapsed to the ground. When Zoe witnessed that, she wasn't afraid. Instead, she looked at the man in front of her with a gaze full of gratitude. Hopefully, she asked, did Grandpa send you to save me? He did, didn't he? To save a monster like you. The man, clad in a black coat and mask, narrowed his eyes and chuckled derisively. I'm not so low as to do that. Zoe's hope turned to terror as she stared at him, trembling. Who are you? She stammered. Me. Leaning closer with an overbearing gaze, the man identified himself. Me? I am Ares, the son of Zeus and Hera. I am here to serve justice. When Zoe regained consciousness, she found herself bound by iron chains hanging from the ceiling in an unfamiliar room. Stripped of her prison uniform, she was left only in filthy undergarments. The room had no windows at all. Zoe figured that she was in a basement. The air was so chilly that it made her teeth chatter. She started to get goosebumps all over her body. Is anyone there? Help! Save me! Zoe struggled to free herself as she cried out continuously, Grandpa! Mom! Save me! Suddenly, the basement door opened, and three burly men entered without a word, stripping away the last shreds of Zoe's dignity. In a harrowing ordeal, they subjected her to unspeakable acts of violence, her screams reverberating through the confines of the room. Zoe bawled until her vision became blurry. She stared at the dim lamp that was swinging above her. Her eyes were filled with despair. Her face swelled up from the beatings she took. Yet, she was powerless and could only endure the brutality that was being forced upon her. The pain was agonizing. It was as if she had kept crawling toward the prison exit but was being pulled back into the abyss time and time again. Right at that moment, she heard the sound of heavy footsteps approaching. A pair of clean leather shoes showed up in front of her. Her eyes were so swollen that she could only see through slits. She mustered up her strength and looked up. Why, you? Zoe breathed heavily. Her eyes were ablaze with anger. Chapter 1928. Landon. Landon. With dirt-stained hands, Zoe clutched onto the leg of Landon's pants, her eyes burning with fury and hatred. Just because of that bitch. Just because of that bitch. How could you do this to me? Who does Lauren think she is? I am your biological sister. How could you do this to me? You should just go to hell. That's right, you are my biological sister, Landon rasped. Tears welled in his eyes, casting an icy glare. I've cherished you since childhood. But you repeatedly hurt me with your actions. You've torn apart my happiness to satisfy your selfish desires. If your actions stemmed from hatred toward me, perhaps I could have found it in my heart to forgive you, considering our familial bond. But instead, you've harmed an innocent woman. And not just anyone, she is the love of my life. I've given you countless chances, Zoe. Each time, I held on to hope that you would change and repent. Yet, each time, you proved me wrong. Instead of remorse, I was met with further cruelty toward Lauren. He closed his eyes, the image of Lauren fighting against her bullies haunting his mind. If she hadn't had the energy to resist. If she hadn't given her life to fight back. The same tragedy that had befallen Zoe could have easily happened to Lauren. Landon knew he could have lost Lauren forever. Landon, stop making excuses for your ingratitude and your infatuation. Zoe panted heavily, her glare was fierce. That stupid woman has consumed your soul. You're a madman, a pawn manipulated by her. The greatest regret of my life is being your sister and not ridding you of that bitch earlier. Condemning you to a lifetime of sorrow and regret. Landon's expression remained cold as he watched Zoe's outburst. Her rage contorted her face into that of a ferocious beast. Zoe continued, by locking me in here. Did you think you could avenge that bitch this way? You abducted me from the police. They will find me soon. And Grandpa. Mom. They will all find me. You're finished, Landon. You're fucking finished. Grandpa is already dead. Landon, who had been calm all along, choked on his tears as he informed Zoe of this news. Instantly, Zoe became as white as a sheet, her gaze vacant. What did you say? Grandpa is dead. Following that, she erupted into laughter, disbelief painting her features. Landon, you're lying to me, aren't you? You would even go as far as coming up with such a lie just to get me. Landon's response was filled with bitterness. Would I need to lie about something like this? Grandpa's funeral is in 2 days. But you won't be there to bid him goodbye. Zoe's pupils were constricted. She panicked. How could that Preston killed him? He stabbed Grandpa 3 times. Zoe's world crumbled around her. No. No. You chose to side with the enemy. You wanted to use Preston to come against me and Lauren. But in the end, Preston killed the one in this family who loved you the most. And Dad's death was also because of him. His helicopter crashed into the sea because Preston hired someone to tamper with it. Zoe was utterly stupefied. In the past, I have given you multiple warnings to stay away from Preston. I said he might have caused Dad's death. But you sided with him. You're his accomplice. Landon tried his best to suppress the despair of losing his loved one. He rasped, "He was cruel enough to even murder his own father. Did you think you could survive under him?" Landon maintained a calm expression on his face. "I will give you one last chance. Apologize to Lauren now. I'll be merciful." Zoe spat back defiantly. "Dream on. You want me to yield to that bitch? Over my dead body." Jordan. Jordan, who had been waiting outside, walked over to Landon's side. "I'm here, Mr. Landon. See Miss Zoe off for the last time," instructed Landon coldly. With that, he left without another word, his resolve unshaken. Chapter 1929. Zoe exclaimed, "Landon, where are you taking me? What else are you going to do to me?" Just moments ago, Zoe was still causing a racket. Now, she was completely terrified. Yet, she remained stubborn and refused to beg for forgiveness. She shouted from behind Landon, "Have you forgotten the oath you pledged before Dad's grave? You said you would love and protect me all your life. Is this how you keep your promise to our dead father?" Upon hearing that, Landon stopped in his tracks. A million thoughts bombarded his mind. He felt like his heart was sinking in quicksand, exhaustion gnawed at him from all the struggling he'd been forced to do. Slowly, with trembling hands, he unfurled his palms. These were the hands that once wove through his younger sister's silky hair, hands that fed her, cradled her, and hoisted her high in the air. Hands that, in happier times, grasped hers as they raced through the park, laughter echoing in their wake. He was her older brother. Yet, he had taken on the role of a father from an early age. He did all he could to fill the void left behind by their late father during her formative years. Yet, these same hands also harbored a simmering hatred for the family member who had shattered him. Now, with these very hands, he was severing the familial bond. A tear escaped and dropped onto his palm. "I vowed to love my younger sister. You, on the other hand, have been taken over by jealousy and desire. You're nothing but a parasitic monster." With those final words, Landon walked away. Zoe's heart plummeted to her stomach. Her expression was blank. It was as if her soul had left her body. Regret washed over her in a tidal wave. However, there was no turning back. Night had fallen by the time Landon walked out of the abandoned manor. Axel was leaning against the sports car's hood and smoking a cigarette. Spotting Landon, he threw the cigarette at his feet and stomped it out. "Hey, Axel. You're still here." Landon approached Axel. The former's face was pale. "I didn't dare leave, in case you did something rash. Jasper wanted me to keep an eye on you." Axel feigned relief. "Fortunately, you didn't go overboard. Were you worried that I'd kill her?" Landon shook his head and continued, "I won't take her life. Jasper doesn't want blood on my hands. I don't want to disappoint him." Axel fixed his eyes on Landon, hesitant to speak. "Do you think it's unreasonable how I treat my sister?" Landon's voice wavered, his emotions barely contained. Axel crossed his arms and briefly pondered before responding, "Let me think about this from a different perspective. If Lys were the victim, I would have been even more brutal than you. I'd kill her, and no one would be able to stop me. Landon lowered his head. He felt really tired. Axel, I'm not sure why, but my heart still hurts, but I don't regret it. Following Zoe's abduction, the police conducted an exhaustive search throughout the night, but she remained elusive. The surveillance camera at the scene had been hacked, and both officers on duty didn't manage to get a good look at the abductor's face before they were each injected with a tranquilizer. Zoe had vanished in plain sight. The next day, an emergency board meeting was held at Harper Group. Unanimously, all board members voted for Landon to be officially promoted. He hadn't even turned 30 and had already taken over the Harper Group and become the head of the Harper family. He was now the chairman of both the company and its board of directors. Despite being the leader, Landon didn't appear particularly elated. After all, he had never wanted any of this. Right at that moment, the meeting room door flung open. Chapter 1930. Landon was looking down as he twirled his pen between his fingers. Everyone else in the room shook their heads as they glanced scornfully at Penelope, who was causing a scene. Zoe was en route to the hospital for treatment when she vanished without a trace, and they have yet to locate her. I know it was you who took her. Penelope's voice reverberated as she advanced toward Landon, pounding the table with both hands. Ignoring the presence of the board members, she continued, Landon. Give me back my daughter. If you don't return her to me, I will hold a shareholder meeting and have you ousted from Harper Group. Return Zoe to me. Landon stopped twirling his pen. However, he still didn't look up at Penelope. What are you doing, Penelope? One of the board members interjected. Perhaps Ms. Zoe left of her own volition while the police weren't looking. If you wish to pursue this matter further, it's best addressed with law enforcement. Indeed, another chimed in. This is a board meeting, personal family matters shouldn't be aired here. It reflects poorly on Harper Group. Personal family matter. Penelope's eyes widened incredulously. Are you dense? If it were your child, would you spout such callous remarks? The board members fell silent. In their minds, they acknowledged that Penelope hadn't exhibited such behavior when Bill was alive. Her widowhood seemed to have taken a toll on her sanity. Landon, despite being the focal point of the conflict, had remained passive. Finally, he spoke in a composed tone, "That concludes today's meeting. You are all dismissed." "All right, Mr. Landon." Everyone got up and left the room, fleeing the tense situation like startled rabbits. The unison of Mr. Landon echoing in their wake slammed into Penelope. The realization that her outburst had made her look like a buffoon was a punch to the gut. It had been nothing more than a childish tantrum. Silence descended upon the empty meeting room. "Landon," she spat, her voice laced with barely contained fury, "did you take Zoe? Where is she?" Landon's response was a glacial stare. His eyes, devoid of warmth, held a darkness. "Trash deserves to be discarded. Return Zoe to me. She is my flesh and blood." Penelope screamed, "You've already refused to acknowledge me as your mother. Zoe is the only one I have left. Give her back to me." Landon silently watched as Penelope went into a frenzy. Penelope, A woman who showered her daughter Zoe with indulgence but lacked any true parenting skills, was now a cornered tigress. For most of her life, Penelope had coasted by, sheltered and carefree. This was the first time Landon had seen such fierce protectiveness in her, and tragically, it was directed at a monster. She emphasized how Zoe was her flesh and blood. She appeared to have forgotten that Landon was her flesh and blood too. Penelope appeared to have overlooked the fact that it was Landon who had shouldered the family burden at a tender age since Bill's passing. Thanks to Landon, they were able to live a comfortable life within the Harper family. Penelope revealed her true colors upon seeing Landon remain impassive. Through gritted teeth, she threatened, "You're not going to give in, are you? Fine. Then the police will hear about this. The media too. I'll tell them everything, how you brutalized and kidnapped your own sister. They'll condemn you, Landon. Your reputation will be shattered." A harsh clatter cut through her tirade. Landon had tossed his phone onto the table. A video was playing, pitiful cries filled the air. Penelope stared at the phone, her face draining of color. She watched Zoe being violated by three men. The men took their turns with Zoe. Penelope's heart was crushed. She buried her head in her hands and pulled at her own hair. She stomped her feet and wailed, "Zoe. My baby. She's not your daughter. She's just a monster that you nurtured and spoiled." Landon turned off the video. His lips were a pale line, pressed thin with repressed fury. And cold. "You failed to raise her. So, I can only use this method to teach her. Penelope, I know that you must be in despair now. She's your biological daughter after all. Go ahead and let those tears out. You'll never be able to see her again anyway." Penelope collapsed, her emotions spiraling out of control. She laughed through tears, spewing curses between clenched teeth. Jordan summoned two bodyguards to escort her out. Frustrated by Penelope's antics, Jordan turned to Landon. "Mr. Landon, I'll have Madame Penelope escorted to the VIP parking lot via your private elevator. She won't encounter anyone along the way." Landon, facing the window with a cold demeanor, responded, "No need for that. Let her leave the way she entered through the main entrance. Let the public see her in this state." Understanding Landon's intention, Jordan complied silently. He knew Landon wanted everyone to witness Penelope's breakdown, discrediting any claims she might make. "Did you record the scene in the meeting room earlier?" Landon asked with a blank look in his eyes. Jordan nodded. "Yes, it was all recorded." "Will do, Mr. Landon." Jordan smiled coldly. "Also, I received an update just now. Zoe has been placed on a stowaway boat headed for Xalu. She will arrive at Xalu in 5 days. Do you think just leave her to fend for herself?" Landon closed his eyes, feeling exhausted. He took a deep breath. "I don't want to waste my energy on garbage." Jordan sighed, "Right. It's not worth it." "Jordan, do you feel like I have become terrifying? There is only a fine line between good and evil." Landon's phone rang as he said that. He took a deep breath, steeling himself when he realized that it was Jasper calling. He answered, "Hey, Jasper." "Landon, Come to the hospital quickly. Lauren is awake. Chapter 1931. Landon raced to the hospital in his sports car, the engine's roar piercing through the air like lightning. He burst out of the vehicle and sprinted toward the VIP ward. Jasper, Alyssa, Jonah, and Julian waited outside. "How's Lauren?" Landon asked, breathless and sweaty. "Grandpa Newton and Javier are with her inside," Alyssa replied, her joy tempered by worry. "But she still needs time to recover from her internal injuries. Her body is weak, and there's a risk of relapse." Julian added, "She protected her head during the assault. However, her prolonged submersion led to a lung infection. She also had severe cerebral hypoxia, which caused her to be in a coma." Frowning, Julian continued, "Tomorrow, I'll conduct a detailed brain examination to assess any potential cranial nerve damage and plan her treatment accordingly." Jonah observed Julian's fatigued appearance, expressing his gratitude with a loving touch. "Thank you for your hard work these past few days. It's nothing when I have you by my side." Julian then tugged at the corner of Jonah's suit and leaned so closely near the latter's ear that Jonah could feel the warmth of his breath. Julian whispered, "Though, if you do think that I've worked hard, reward me when we get back." Jonah's gaze intensified, though he maintained a composed demeanor. Julian's touch ignited warmth within him, despite his apparent stoicism. Observing Jonah's reaction, Julian couldn't help but find his partner's modesty endearing. It was one of the many qualities he cherished in him. Landon's voice faltered, his lips dry with regret before he fell silent. Jasper could tell what he was thinking. He said reassuringly, "You can go in to see Lauren after Grandpa and Dad come out. I believe you're the one she most longs to see." Landon's heart clenched with pain, his breaths coming heavier. "Doctor? Where's the doctor?" Javier's urgent voice interrupted, bursting through the doors, his cheeks flushed with anxiety. "Why isn't my daughter speaking? What happened?" As a doctor, Julian reacted quickly. He rushed into the ward immediately. Jasper and Alyssa followed closely behind. Landon's chest tightened. He was about to enter when the door closed in front of him. There was a twitch in his eye. He pressed his palms on the door. His head hung low as his heart pounded. He dared not enter. Then, a warm hand rested on his shoulder, and Landon turned to see Jonah, tears welling in his eyes. "Jonah." Landon struggled to speak, overwhelmed with emotion. Chapter 1932. Lauren lay on the hospital bed, her heartbeat steady, and the oxygen mask removed. Despite this, every breath seemed laborious for her, her face drained of color. The delicate flutter of her lashes resembled a butterfly's wings. "Lauren, don't be afraid. You're all right now. Grandpa is here. Your dad, Jasper, and Alyssa are here too. No one else can hurt you anymore." Newton held onto Lauren's hand tightly. Tears filled his eyes. Jasper held his breath, his arms around Alyssa's waist, and he could feel her tensing up. Despite his own heartbreak, he stifled his emotions, refusing to break down in front of Lauren and their elders. Lauren's eyes glistened with unshed tears. Just then, a single droplet slid down her pale cheek. She parted her chapped lips, but no sound emerged. She tried very hard to express herself but couldn't make a single sound. Dr. Lovelace, why can't Lauren speak all of a sudden? Javier looked at Julian anxiously. Julian furrowed his brows, considering the situation. It appears to be functional aphasia. Aphasia. The Becketts exclaimed in shock. Some victims experience this after a traumatic event, caused by extreme anxiety and mental distress, Alyssa explained softly, her heart aching. Is there a way to help my granddaughter, Dr. Lovelace? Newton asked, his voice strained. Julian sighed. This is tricky. If it's serious, she may need to undergo surgery. Newton and Javier felt faint. Newton wiped the tears from his eyes. Oh, dear Lord. Why does my granddaughter have to suffer through all these? Unable to speak, Lauren squeezed Newton's hand tightly, offering silent comfort. Her gesture only deepened the sorrow felt by everyone present. But if Lauren can maintain optimism, it could significantly ease her mental state and potentially lead to a drastic improvement in her condition, Julian remarked, his brow furrowing in thought as he rubbed his chin. Alyssa's eyes sparkled with understanding, a knowing smile playing on her lips. She grasped Julian's implication with a single glance. If all goes well. Newton's eyes lit up. Immediately, he asked, I heard the few of you talking outside just now. Is Landon here? Yes, he is, Grandpa, Jasper responded immediately. Javier's expression darkened. Was Newton truly his father? The same man who had belittled and betrayed him. As the door opened, Landon entered the room, his heart pounding with trepidation. Hesitant, he lingered at the edge, unable to approach Lauren. Jasper's eyes radiated encouragement as he gently pushed Landon forward. Lauren, look who's here. Initially despondent, her gaze transformed, sparkling with affection as she silently conveyed her love for him. Chapter 1933. Landon's back bowed lower and lower as waves of emotions flooded over him, emotions he had suppressed for so long now released all at once. Lauren's eyes welled with tears as she reached out, her trembling hand finding its way to Landon's haggard face. With a gentle touch, she traced his features, pausing at his graying sideburns. I've become uglier, haven't I? Landon placed his calloused hand on the back of her hand. He gently nuzzled against her hand and tried his best to smile. I'm not as handsome as before. Lauren, does that make you hate me? Lauren's heart ached, her attempts at speech nearly faltering. Her eyes brimmed with unshed tears, her gaze flickering with emotion. Alyssa, her heart tender, could no longer contain her emotions. Tears streamed silently down her cheeks. Newton couldn't bear to watch any longer. He dragged Javier out of the room with him. Jasper and Alyssa followed them out of the room, giving Landon and Lauren some space to be together. The lovers, reunited after a brush with death, had so much they wanted to share, even if Lauren couldn't express herself verbally. Landon held onto Lauren's hands tightly. His breathing was heavy, and his tears continued to fall onto the back of her hands. Their eyes met, and no words were needed to express how deeply in love they were with one another. Lauren's lashes fluttered, and with her finger, she began to trace letters on Landon's hand. Angie. After the final letter was formed, Landon's fists clenched tightly, trembling with the pain of losing someone dear to him. His lips turned downward as he struggled to suppress his grief. "You should rest, Lauren. When you've recovered, I'll take you to see Angelina." Lauren was a simple woman. She didn't see through his white lie. She nodded earnestly and weakly flashed a smile. Lauren had regained consciousness and Newton was on the mend, preparing to be discharged from the hospital. As Ben tidied up the ward, Newton took the opportunity to speak with Javier. "I won't beat around the bush," Newton began, his expression serious as he took a sip of tea. "Cornelius has passed away, Preston and Zoe have faced consequences for their actions, and Penelope is receiving treatment for her mental health overseas. Landon has kept his promise and resolved all the family's issues. Is there anything else that worries you?" Javier looked down, clearly burdened by thoughts he struggled to articulate. "For Lauren's sake, Landon has really sacrificed too much. Jasper and Alice told me about the personal bodyguard who grew up with Landon. She sacrificed her life to save Lauren, bringing down one of the perpetrators with her." Javier nodded, his expression grave. "That woman was Angelina. I know she worked for Landon from a young age. Javier, are you still holding on to your bias against Landon? Are you still unwilling to accept him? As a parent, don't you want your children to find happiness? Yet, no matter how much regret he felt, it was all too late." Chapter 1934. However, Lauren and Landon still held each other's hands. Everything could still start anew. "Dad, I don't have any objections to Lauren and Landon's marriage anymore." Sitting upright, Javier continued seriously, "In the next few days, I'll have Rory draw up a list of wedding gifts. Although the Harper family has few members left, I want a splendid wedding for my daughter. Now that Landon is the chairman of Harper Group, Lauren will be the rightful chairwoman when she marries him. If the gifts are not generous enough, those snobbish people of Harper Group might talk behind her back." Newton remained indifferent. "Let the young people decide for themselves. You just need to accept it. Don't worry about the rest. Lauren has suffered severe trauma. That's not something that can be easily overcome. Just let them discuss the wedding on their own. Or they can register their marriage first to avoid indefinite postponement and further trouble." As Javier reflected on how his love, originally intended solely for Lauren, had been divided over the years toward Sophia's illegitimate child, he felt anger, hatred, and guilt twisting in his heart. He didn't want his only daughter to suffer anymore. "All right, let's do as you say." Feeling relieved after leaving Newton's ward, Javier noticed Jasper waiting for him outside the door. "Do you need something?" Jasper pressed his lips into a fine line before saying, "I just received news that Ronald had a sudden heart attack last night and died in prison." Though frowning, Javier replied casually, "Well, it's good that that scum has finally met his end. He can reunite with Sophia in the underworld." He gritted his teeth, feeling intense hatred surging within him. Jasper's expression was obscure. "Did you have a hand in this?" Javier stiffened as he looked into Jasper's dark and deep eyes. "Actually, there was no need for you to do that." Being his son, Jasper could easily glean the answer from Javier's expression. He spoke calmly, "Sophia has already paid the price. Her daughter has severed ties with our family, and she'll be punished by the law. I know you hate Sophia for deceiving you, but resorting to murder to vent your anger could bring trouble. I hope that you can think twice before acting next time." Javier widened his eyes. It had been many years since he had heard Jasper speak to him so calmly and considerately. This was something he never dared to hope for before that day. Just as Jasper was about to leave, Javier suddenly spoke, "I do hate her, but it's not solely because she deceived me." Jasper froze in place, his gaze deepening. "When Lauren is discharged from the hospital, tell Landon to spend more time with her at Seaview Manor." Just as the father and son were enjoying a rare moment of peace, Rory hurried over, interrupting them. "Mr. Javier, you would never guess who's back." Rory's eyes lit up with joy. "It's Mr. Justin. Mr. Justin is back." Chapter 1935. Jasper suddenly stiffened, as if held in place by an invisible force. "What did you say? Justin is back." Javier's eyes sparkled with joy. His delight was evident. "Where is he now?" "He's in the basement parking lot. I ran into him when I came back from running errands," Rory replied. "Why didn't he tell us that he was coming back?" Javier complained with a smile on his face. "I've exchanged a few words with him. He knew that if he informed you in advance, you would prepare extensively. He didn't want to cause you any trouble, so he kept it a secret. He's really considerate." Javier quickly instructed Jasper, "Jasper, go inform your grandpa. I'll go down to see Justin first." As Jasper watched their retreating figures, his hand clenched into a fist. When the Becketts arrived at the parking lot, Justin was sitting calmly in a wheelchair, wearing a gentle smile. "Justin!" Javier called out joyfully and hurried over to him. Not far behind him, Jasper and Alyssa were supporting Newton. So, they were walking rather slowly. "Grandpa, Dad, Jasper, you're all here." Justin gently smiled, and his tender gaze finally rested on Alyssa's calm face. "And Ms. Alyssa too. You didn't have to come all the way here. It's nothing. You're Jasper's brother, so you're my brother too. I should show you respect, of course," Alyssa responded with a polite smile but was secretly scrutinizing Justin. She had thought about this day before, she just hadn't expected it to arrive so soon. Before meeting him, she had always demonized him, considering him a hidden enemy who could return at any time to challenge Jasper. But upon meeting Justin today, she couldn't find a trace of hostility in him. His clear and gentle eyes were devoid of any contention. Even his friendly smile seemed to effortlessly bridge the gap between him and others, emanating an air of humility and elegance that befitted a true gentleman. "Welcome back, Justin," Jasper said warmly. However, there was an indiscernible frown, hinting at his conflicted emotions. He didn't know what was wrong with him. Justin was merely greeting Alyssa, yet Jasper's chest suddenly tightened, and he felt an inexplicable sense of unease. Supporting Newton, Alyssa felt a scalding heat on the back of her hand. Alyssa glanced down. Jasper had secretly slipped his hand into hers, his fingers lacing with hers as they both supported Newton. Their fingers were tightly pressed together, causing her to feel numb. Chapter 1936. Newton's expression stiffened slightly. What are you talking about? Both you and Jasper are my grandsons. I cherish you both. Justin quipped, I'm just joking, Grandpa. I know you care about me. At this moment, the door of a luxurious MPV opened, and a graceful figure stepped out. Mr. Justin, the parking lot is chilly. You shouldn't stay out here for too long. With her words, Cheryl bent down and gently placed a blanket over Justin's knees. Javier looked at the unfamiliar woman. Who is this? This is Cheryl Gillis, my personal assistant. She's the one diligently taking care of me in Mosgravia. As you can see, I'm basically useless. Justin's fist pressed lightly against his pale lips as he coughed. Justin, you're my cherished son. How can you call yourself useless? Don't belittle yourself. Your body has improved a lot compared to before. You'll definitely get better with treatment. Javier showed rare patience. He then looked at Cheryl with gratitude. Thank you for taking care of Justin, Ms. Gillis. You're too kind, Mr. Javier. Taking care of Mr. Justin is my duty. Cheryl smiled sweetly. As Jasper gazed at her beautiful face, his expression darkened. Even from 6 feet away, his keen senses could detect the faint scent of orchids emanating from her. Noticing his gaze, Cheryl smiled gently. Alyssa caught that and couldn't help but bite her lip, feeling a pang of jealousy. Dad, can I go see Lauren? Justin's brow furrowed, showing concern. I'm also her brother. I'm really worried about her. Cheryl sighed at his words. Ever since Ms. Lauren's accident, Mr. Justin hasn't been sleeping well. He wanted to return earlier, but he thought all of you might be extremely busy, and he was worried about causing any inconvenience by coming over. That's why he decided to return only today. You don't need to mention that, Cheryl, Justin reproached. You're really thoughtful, Justin. Javier was deeply moved. You've come at the right time. Lauren just woke up. She'll be very happy to see you. As the Becketts returned to the VIP ward area, the usually proud Javier personally pushed Justin's wheelchair. Just as Alyssa was about to follow them into the ward, Jasper suddenly grabbed her wrist and pulled her into the dimly lit emergency exit without a word. The door slammed shut, and his deep eyes surged with emotions. He pressed her against the wall before kissing her passionately. They finally parted after a long while, strands of glistening saliva lingering between their moistened lips. What's wrong? Why are you suddenly so aggressive? Alyssa gasped as Jasper continued to press against her body. Chapter 1937. Alyssa looked into Jasper's eyes, which were ablaze with desire. She pressed her moistened lips together. Suddenly, she remembered Cheryl's considerably charming face and the smile she had deliberately shown Jasper. Inexplicably, she felt uncomfortable. She wasn't trying to make a fuss about it. As the daughter of the Taylor family and the president of KS Group, she didn't want to be like those jealous women who couldn't live without men. But this time, she couldn't control it. She felt a little annoyed. Justin is your brother, and he has greeted me politely. If you don't want me to smile at him, Then do I cry instead? Alyssa turned her face away to avoid Jasper's intense gaze. Her nose was tinged with a faint blush. Jasper's gaze dimmed. Pinching her chin, he slowly turned her head to face him, forcing her to meet his gaze. I'm afraid, Lice. Alyssa blinked her moistened eyes. You're too pretty when you smile. I'm afraid he'll be captivated. His voice was hoarse. When he said that, his lips lingered near the corner of her mouth. I'm just naturally perfect. My charm radiates autonomously all the time. What can I do? Alyssa murmured with a hint of annoyance. But even with all my charm, I can't compare to Ms. Gillis. Jasper frowned. What do you mean? I thought you were only interested in me. It turns out, you just haven't found someone who fits your taste. Alyssa pouted, her jealousy evident. Though Jasper was a low EQ man, he realized her jealousy at this moment. He couldn't help but laugh, feeling ecstatic inside. Lice, are you jealous? I'm not. I can't control your eyes anyway. You can look at whoever you want again, Jasper claimed Alyssa's lips, this time with even more fervor and passion than before, leaving her body weak and her mind adrift. With their bodies pressed tightly together, she felt the change in his crotch. She shyly pushed against his chest but was unable to resist. Although Jasper had a hard-on, he wasn't a randy male dog on the prowl. He restrained himself, even though it was tough. He caressed her smooth nape and said softly, I was wrong. If that happens again, I'll gouge my eyes out for you. You want it to happen again? You jerk. Alyssa's eyes widened as she pounded her fist on his shoulder. But Lice, you misunderstood. Hugging her, he lowered his head to look at her face. I looked at Cheryl because I had some doubts. What do you mean? Today, when I saw her, I smelled that scent again, so I couldn't help but observe her a bit more. I'm sorry for upsetting you. It's all my fault.